Today, I'm talking about the tools I use to read more and retain more information.
Welcome to the Productivity Podcast, the show that will supercharge your productivity fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and become a Jedi Master of Productivity. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Productivity Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. And today I want to talk about some tools that I'm using to manage my reading. And so I'm talking about reading articles that I find online, as well as books. And really what I want to communicate today is how I'm using these tools to not only manage my reading process and collect and manage the articles and books that I'm reading, but also to retain more information as well and really use the information that I'm reading and make sure it kind of stays in my memory so I can use it later. So that's what I'm talking about today. This episode was kind of inspired by a conversation that we had in the Better Book Club Facebook group a couple of weeks ago. If you're not in the Facebook group yet, head on over to just search Better Book Club on Facebook and you can join the group. You'll also find a link on my website as well. And so that's where we talk about, we share book suggestions, we share book quotes, we have focus questions that we discuss and talk about. And it's just a place for discussing and sharing our love of books. So if you are interested in reading more and sharing great ideas, then head on over to the Better Book Club Facebook page. So, for this article today, or for this podcast, firstly, I want to talk about articles. Now, there's obviously a lot of information out there on the web. We really do get bombarded with information. And so, managing the articles that we read and working out what to read can be a real challenge with just the sheer amount of information that is available to us. And it's that kind of the paradox of choice, you know, having too many options. And so, really, when it comes to finding articles that I read, most of my articles come from either Twitter or Facebook, but actually the quality ones really I find come from Feedly. And Feedly is the first tool that I want to talk about today. And Feedly, I use Feedly because there are a number of blogs that I like to check in with, like every now and then, to see what kind of new content they've produced. These are blogs that I like to follow, and I know that they produce good quality content. And so rather than trying to remember each blog and like manually going to the page, I actually use Feedly to organize all of these posts in one place. And you can subscribe to follow these different blogs, and then you can quickly see all the new articles that have come out from the different blogs that you follow. And my need for Feedly kind of came out of this desire to reduce email, because rather than subscribing to the mailing lists of each blog, I wanted to reduce email, and so I actually use Feedly to keep on top of this content without having to receive an email. And so if I see an article that I want to read, if I see something in Feedly, I'll either I'll read it there and then, or what is more common is I'll actually add it to Pocket for reading later. And that's the second tool that I want to talk about today, Pocket, which is my read later service. Obviously, the other one you can use is Instapaper. Those are kind of the two major ones that most people have heard of, that most people use. And Pocket or Instapaper, these are great tools for really deferring your reading to later, because when you're kind of browsing social media or going through Feedly, you're not always in the reading mood. I personally find it's better to actually postpone the reading for later when you're actually not scanning through social media, because I find when you scan through social media, you're naturally kind of flicking through things very quickly, and consequently, when you find an article, you start to flick through the article really quickly. And so to force myself to take time, I actually postpone my reading for later. I save articles to Pocket, and then when I'm in the right mood, I go into my Pocket list of the articles that I've collected, and then I'll read them one by one rather than kind of skimming through them quickly. I'll actually take the time to read them. And I really like using Pocket. It integrates well with Twitter on the iPhone, so you can quickly just like tap and hold on a link to save to Pocket. And the Chrome extension as well is really good on the desktop, so you can just quickly click a button on your Chrome, the Chrome extension, to just save an article for later. And I really like the fact that you can actually go through like old articles that you've read as well? Because sometimes like you'll read an article and you'll want to come back to it later. So this is what I was talking about, like retaining the information that you've read. So sometimes I'll think, oh, what was that idea? What was that idea from a blog that I read a while ago? And so rather than trying to Google and find the post that you read, I can actually go into my Pocket Archive and search within my articles to find the article that I was thinking about. So that's kind of a nice way. The archive in Pocket is a really nice way to kind of have a history of the articles that you've read so that you can kind of go back over this archive later to retrieve any information that you've read in the past. And sometimes I'll find an article that I really like, and I don't want to lose it, or I want to have it quickly accessible. And that's where Evernote actually comes in. So Evernote, this is the third tool that I want to talk about today, is where really great articles that I want to save either for future reference or in case the article gets removed from the internet, I actually save it into Evernote. And I'm pretty restrictive on what I actually add to Evernote, and so the articles that end up there have to be really good. They're really good quality, the ones that end up in Evernote. And so I usually save articles from Pocket using the built-in share extension, or actually I'll use the Evernote web clipper for Chrome as well, and I choose the simplified article format. If you've used the Evernote web clipper, you'll know what I mean, but basically it gives you the option of how to save the content, and so I save it as a simplified article, so I actually get the article, not just a link. And all articles in Evernote get tagged with the word article, so I can quickly filter notes to view all articles that I've saved. And I use various other tags as well to highlight the topic of the article. For example, maybe something like sleep or time or technology or something like that. And I could just use Evernote's great search features, but I like to have this extra level of organization that tags offer. And so again, Evernote is a really nice way to build up like a library of the really good quality articles that you've read so that you can go back over them in the future and revisit those great ideas that you read about. So now, when it comes to books, books is obviously another big reading area of reading. So one of my favorite reading tools that I've been using of late, and I'm pretty new to this, is Goodreads. And I really enjoy using Goodreads because it connects to your social accounts, and so you can actually see what your friends are reading, and you can see what's in their reading list, and it's a really nice way of getting new book suggestions. And I like being able to, like, if I find a book, often my friends are interested in the same books, I like seeing, you know, the reviews that they've left as well. And I know that Mike Vardy, for example, is doing a lot of reading at the moment, and so he's very active on Goodreads. And Mike is great at leaving reviews on books that he's read, and it's really nice to be able to check out a book and go, oh yeah, I want to read this, and then see that actually, for example, like maybe Mike or somebody else has left a review. And it's nice to just see that your friends or people that you know have left reviews. It's a nice way to just kind of vet and filter the books that you're looking at. And I also love Goodreads for managing my own reading list as well, because when I come across a book, what I can do is I can click the Want to Read button, and that adds it to my reading list. And I'll come back to that later, but the final feature that I really like in Goodreads is that you get some pretty cool stats and statistics as well. So it actually tracks, obviously, the books that you've read, but how long it takes you to read them as well. And so you can sign up to some challenges. And so this year, I think I'm trying to read, I can't remember what it is, like maybe 24 books or 18 books or something like that this year. And so it's a nice way of just kind of holding yourself accountable. And then the next tool, a really useful tool, is Amazon, actually. Amazon is my kind of go-to store for digital books. Obviously, you've got other places like the Apple iBook store as well. But because I'm a Kindle user, I actually think Amazon is the best option if you're using a Kindle, naturally. And so purchasing on Amazon is really quick and easy. In fact, it's too easy. And obviously, the book ends up right on my Kindle, so that's really nice. And I suppose moving on to talk about the Kindle, I purchased my Kindle about 6 months ago in preparation for our travel adventures that we're on right now, because I didn't want to obviously have it carry around lots of physical books. And I used to be a very physical book person. In fact, I still am. I have lots of favorite books in storage right now. And but the convenience of the Kindle is really nice, and it's actually grown on me a lot. And so I think going forward, I'll probably use the Kindle as my primary device and then just purchase my favorite books as physical books. And so try and reduce the amount of books that I own to just my favorites. And there's lots of different types of Kindles, of course. I went for one of the more basic ones. I think it's just like a 6-inch Kindle Touch with Wi-Fi. Have a look at the show notes for this episode for a link to the specific one that I've got. So go to paulminers.com/59. And coming back to that Goodreads reading list that I mentioned earlier, it's really nice because you can actually sign into Goodreads from your Kindle and get quick access to that reading list on your e-reader. So you can just look at the books that you want to read, and then there'll even be a link to the Amazon store so you can quickly purchase that book from your reading list. So that's a really nice feature. And on a side note, I used to use the iPad for reading and it was okay, but it wasn't ideal. Obviously, as soon as you take it outside, the glare on the display, it's really not ideal for reading. Obviously, the iPad does a lot more than just reading, and so compared to a Kindle, obviously it's a lot more functional, but purely in the context of reading, the Kindle wins hands down. Really is a no-brainer. But I don't own my iPad anymore. Love the Kindle for reading. And obviously as part of the retaining information when it comes to books, obviously I write a lot of book summaries. That's my key way of retaining information, because as I read my books, I will highlight passages, my favorite passages and quotes on the Kindle, and I can actually export those and save them into a note in Evernote, or in my case, I actually upload them to my website. I actually think distilling and summarizing books is a great way to retain what you've read. And it's just sort of happened by mistake in my case. I started doing it a few years ago and I saw that people really love the summaries, so I've just kind of kept on doing it. But if you do find yourself reading books, I do encourage you, if you want to kind of retain more of the information, I encourage you to maybe write your own book summaries. Obviously, it's great to download other people's, but you actually learn a lot in the creation process. You can read a summary and maybe you'll learn a bit, but actually creating your own summary, I think, can be very beneficial and helps you to retain a lot of that information. So there you have it. Those are my favorite reading tools and some ideas around how you can actually retain more of the information that you've read. I'd love to hear from you. What are your favorite tools? Are you a physical book person? Are you a Kindle? Are you a Kobo person? What are your reading tools and habits and workflows? What does that workflow look like? Head on over to paulminers.com/59. Leave me a comment and I'd love to hear how you manage your reading process. Thanks very much for listening. I'll catch you next time on the Productivity Podcast. My name is Paul Miners, and thank you for listening to this episode of the Productivity Podcast. For me, productivity is a tool for getting more out of life. I believe that if you can be more effective and efficient, not just at work, but in everything that you do, that this, I truly believe, is the pathway to a happier and more fulfilling lifestyle. Join me at paulminers.com and sign up to my free email course, the 7-Day Productivity Plan, to learn more about my approach to productivity and how I balance multiple projects, how I use different apps within my productivity system, and how I get more done with less stress. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd really appreciate if you could leave me a review. Let me know if you have any questions or what you'd like to learn more about. And who knows, maybe I'll decide to talk about it on the show. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you next time on the Productivity Podcast.